All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Monday, April 15th. Fuck it, we're doing our taxes. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, apparently there's a lot of online chatter right now that we are supposed to eat some crow. Mm-hmm. And will we, won't we? I don't know. But we had to bring in some reinforcements because the internet's coming after us right now. So joining us on this supposedly crow-eating episode from the Kirk Minahan Show, podcast Jesus himself, Kirk Minahan, is here. Kirk, thanks for joining the BO Boys on what could be one of our worst weekends, possibly. Oof. We'll see, or one of our best.
Yeah, it's always great to be here, of course. I know we got a lot to get to with all the Civil War stuff. I do want to say, I mentioned it to you, Pat, mm-hmm. offline a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget where I was when Clayton said that Roadhouse Would Cry Macho if it was released in the theaters. It's one of the defining moments of my life. I actually rewound it two or three times. I was so, first of all, correct and just mm-hmm. stunned by the bravery to say that. So I know it's a few weeks ago, but I just wanted to take a moment and congratulate you, Clayton. That took real guts.
Thank you. I'm glad that I could have that effect on you. And it shows that we do have our finger on the pulse most of mm-hmm. the time.
So yeah, listen, it's yeah, exactly. Look, I'm glad you brought me in because God knows I've taken a lot of heat in social media in my life, a tremendous amount. So I've been there. And right. look, there are up days and, you know, the sun will rise tomorrow. That's how you have to look at it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, you've had twists and turns in your careers.
Yep.
I mean, are the BO Boys going to get fired after this weekend? You know, this could be that level. You know, is the radio station GM going to see what the reactions to our Civil War predictions were? And are we, you know, are we traveling to the next town to find a new gig?
I'll give you a little vote of confidence right now. I reached out to John from Scranton, the CEO of the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel, and said, the BO mm-hmm. Boys never leave this channel.
Okay.
Never.
Well, yeah. We've always got that to fall back on, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, since the last time you've been on the show, yeah, we are now partners on a spinoff series. We have the Kirk exclusives on sure. the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody jerked off in the theater during Civil War. So you might be in some trouble there.
Yeah. That's what we need right now.
Yes. Yeah.
We're an actual really, war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're going to get into it. I think it's time we just plow.
Let's do it.
And then we deal with the fallout of mm-hmm. our Civil War predictions and results. But Clayton, could you give us a Civil War size plow for the weekend of Friday, April 12th?
Number one, Civil War, this can't be right, made $25.7 million in its first weekend. Number two, Godzilla X Kong, the collab, made $15.4 million, down 50%. It lost 101 theaters. It's at $157.9 million in its third weekend. Number three, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire made $5.8 million, down 36%. It lost 485 theaters. It's at $96.9 million in its fourth weekend. Number four, Kung Fu Panda 4 made $5.5 million, down only 29%. It lost 294 theaters. It's at $173.6 million in its sixth weekend of release. Number five, Dune Part 2 made $4.3 million, down 42%. It lost 435 theaters. It's at $272.1 million in its seventh weekend of release. And quickly, we just got to talk Monkey Man number six, $4.1 million, down 59%. It added eight theaters. It's at 17.7 in its second weekend. And then Omen, the first Omen, made $3.7 million, down 55%. No theater change. It's at $14.6 million in its second weekend of release. That's your top seven.
I mean, let's get into the top movie this weekend, which is a movie that neither Clayton nor I predicted to be the top movie. Civil War, A24's a big budget, $50 million, not $100 million. We'll get to that. But Kirk, 50. I'm gonna throw to you. Have you seen this movie? What was your outlook going into the weekend? You know, and I know you'll be honest. What was sure. your prediction heading into this weekend?
One second. I just got a, I've never been part of this, a group text with Matt Bellany and Lucas Shaw, and they're criticizing you guys. I'm not going to, I want to respond to it. I won't even do it. I'll leave it alone. I won't even touch it.
Wow. So your buddy, so you guys are all, Pixar dad.
No, I'm surprised. I was surprised. I would not have said 25 million. Definitely not. I will say as a devoted BO boy, I actually thought you guys were a little low, but I would have never, and when I saw the Friday numbers, were the Friday numbers higher than your projection, the actual, no, would you have in the low teens?
I had it at $9 million.
And it made $10 million on Friday, right? So Friday, you guys were absolutely porked, huh? When you saw the...
It was bad. When we woke up on Saturday morning, the floodgates were open. We were getting torched by Saturday morning.
This is how you get better. This is how you get better. You know, you learn through this is part of life. They're all going to be hits. I would have said like 16, 17 million. So I would have been way off as well. This is an overperformer. I actually think that just the title itself brought people to the theater in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And it has decent. I don't know if you gave a review or not, God knows. But I mean, most people, I know a good buddy of mine thought it was pretty good. My buddy Jeff D. Lowe from Barstool is a movie guy. Okay. He liked it, didn't love it. But I do think the audience grade was like a B minus, right?
The audience grade is pretty bad. Yes. I mean, B minus, unless you're a horror movie it's real bad. You know, like all the Marvel movies were basically A's, A minuses. You've got to be a B plus or better to be a decent audience score. So people didn't love this.
Why don't you guys, I'll play host here for a moment. Why don't you guys walk me through the anatomy of a disaster here? You know, one of my favorite movie books is by Stephen Bock. Basically, he was in charge of the studio that made Heaven's Gate. And he went through the entire ordeal of it. So why don't you guys... Final Cut, yeah. Great book. Why don't you guys walk me through this? It's a BO disaster. These things can happen. So why don't you tell me where it went wrong and how we can prevent this from happening again in the future?
This is almost a reverse Heaven's Gate in that it's a failure for us because the movie did so well, it could collapse our studio.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's why so many things.
Why 9 million?
Here's what I misunderstood, I think, about this country weekend.
Good. I like this already.
And so, again, I ain't here to eat crow. I'm here to put something on the American people and something I didn't think of them. Coming off of Kong X Godzilla, the collab.
Collab, yeah.
Huge hit, just a sensation. I thought that we were a country that was looking to bring people together right now. I thought collab, Deadpool, ex-Wolverine, collab coming up. I thought we were a collaborative society. I thought we were a society where people wanted to find peace, wanted to find common ground. And it turns out, no, we're a country that wants war. We want to hate each other. And I admit it, I thought better going into this weekend of Americans and the North American box office populace. I thought better, and guess what? I was wrong. People want civil war. They want to go to a movie and see their political opposites shooting at them, and they could shoot at them, and that's what they wanted. And I guess I didn't think that was the case. I didn't think that would sell. But I stand corrected. People want to hate each other. They don't want collabs. They want to see the other side get blown up at the box. So here we go. I guess that's what these people are.
And I always hear you guys say, I mean, you know, you're always championing more people go to the theaters. In a way, it's a win. I mean, you know, $25 million worth of box office this weekend to go see this movie. That's better than 9 million. Overall, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing that this country is so divided and hates the other side so much they want to see in IMAX each other blow each other up. It's great for the box office. I just didn't know that.
You're a naive child just sort of dancing. Yes. As you know, Clayton, he's not of our generation, so he's younger. So that's going to happen. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, he's Gen Y. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What?
Wait, hold on.
Now mind sliding. I also, and Kirk, I think that's a great point. And we'll get to the haters. We'll give the haters voice because we think they deserve it. But I even said, and we profit. Well, that's the thing. Here's here's the rub, and here's the rub in the faces of all the haters who will get their voice, is that I said at the end of our episode, if we're wrong, we still win. Because if this movie overperforms or performs better than we thought it was going to, that means that box office is strong, theatrical is strong, IMAX is strong, A24 as a brand is strong. And therefore, that's more content for us, more theaters and IMAXs opening up. And so it only strengthens our brand. So that's, we're the only sort of show. You don't see sports commentators being like, you know what? I'm glad I was wrong about that blowout loss, because there's nothing for them to be, because all they hang their hats on is throwing stuff in the air and hoping that it turns out to be correct.
Covering the spread. Yeah.
Covering the spread.
Right. Alex Jones doesn't want there to be a real moon landing.
Exactly. That's the thing. For us, we're happy that this rocket landed on the moon. I'm happy about it.
Right.
So you can't touch me because you're only making this show stronger.
Right. So Kirk, looking at the overperforming of this opening weekend, you know, there's different factors. Is it the cast? Is Kirsten Dunst a bigger star than we thought? Is it the A24 brand? Is it that people wanted to see the opposite political party get blown up in IMAX? Like, what do you think, you know, because this, the projections we all thought were high, and this did higher than the highest projections. So what do you think happened here? What's the biggest reason why this did so well?
I might be dating myself here again, but I thought it was a pretty effective trailer, and it was kind of fooling people into thinking it was almost a quasi action sort of balls to the wall, like, you know, Jesse Plemons with the gun and people running around and things exploding and people jumping in cars. And I'm telling you, the title Civil War suggests that kind of thing. So I don't think Dunst is going to put anybody in any seats. I don't think that's happening. I don't think, I heard you guys debate Nick Offerman. I don't think so. Jesse Plemons, no. There was no Ellen Burstyn in the film, to my knowledge. So no.
I saw the film. She's not in it, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, that's sad. So I think they just did a good job. I thought it was a pretty effective trailer for bringing people to the theater. Like, I saw it, the trailer. Think, you know, I'm actually not a huge fan of Alex Garland, but yeah, I think they did a good job. I think it's going to sink like us. Now, you guys are in a tough spot. This is early. Week two prediction is going to be. I think you might both over-index here and make a mistake. But you guys have integrity. So, but you know. I think that's what it was. I think if you ask somebody on the street, what is this movie? And they saw the trailer, I think they would think, oh, it's like a, and you saw it. I didn't. It felt like an action movie. Was it that or no?
It is not an action movie. And I think you're totally right. This is a case of, and for some reason, people love this about A24, an A24 trailer that convinces you you're going to see a movie that you're not actually going to see.
Yeah, they are good.
You know, they've done that so many times, you know, Lamb, where it's like, this is going to be a horror movie, and it's not a horror movie. It's just Green psychological Knight. Drama. Green Knight is going to be Lord of the Rings, and it's not that. And I agree. People thought they were going to get a Stallone-style action epic. And if they had titled this movie accurately, it would have been called The Morality of Photojournalists. That probably isn't as catchy as Civil War. Yeah. So I think that's what happened here. I think you nailed it. They sold people on something that the movie wasn't. Listen, we'll go into it. You brought up, we save this for the weekend preview. You brought up the second weekend of this and whether we would sort of backtrack to cover for our low opening predictions. I think this is a second weekend Morbius drop, and I'll stick to my guns.
Hell yes.
This movie's going to, No, I'm not going to come out here and say, you guys are right. It overperformed. It's so great. This is the best movie. It's going to drop 20% and make $200 million. No, this thing's going to sink like a stone weekend two, 68% or higher second weekend drop. This is going to be a massive Morbius type drop once people actually know what this movie is about. I mean, Kirk, you haven't seen it yet.
No.
What is your interest level in actually seeing it from what you've heard, from what the 25 million, does that entice you to be part of this moment? Like, where are you at on actually seeing this movie?
I'll say that, Clayton, I don't you know, I'll probably see it, but if I never see it, it'll be fine. I do like the fact that it's like an hour 40 or whatever it is, but yeah, no, it's not. I know, Clayton, it doesn't seem like you have any interest in it either, right?
No, I have very little interest in this movie. And after Pat, you know, Pat gave a review, a private review, because we're not critics, huh? Uh-huh. And I have really no intention of seeing this movie at all. And we had a friend who was texting us and also dunking on us on Twitter, which, you know, great friends do to each other, I guess, in this day and age.
Oh, class.
And said that he loved it and that he thought it was nonpartisan, which I think is fine. If that's what you want to say about this movie, that's great. And a lot of people are saying it's nonpartisan. But the interesting thing about the fact that this movie is nonpartisan is that Post-Track actually asked people what their politics were after attending this movie, which I think is a very bad thing to start doing if they're going to start doing. But Deadline is reporting that 22% of the people who saw this movie consider themselves liberal, 19% were Democrats, 11% considered themselves moderate, whereas registered Republicans were 6%, evangelical Christians, which I guess is political now, 6%,
right,
and conservative folks, 5%. So I don't know if they were just letting people write stuff in or there were checkboxes there, but this is a very interesting thing to ask people about a movie that is supposedly nonpartisan.
Right. How many people are voting for RFK? Did they have that as a checkbox?
I'm not sure. I mean, there were a few Rogers write-ins, though.
Okay. So that's interesting that it does seem to be political left more over-indexing there, or not over-indexing, but being the majority and conservatives being the minority on a movie that most people can't find any partisanness in. I think that comes down to who's like most apt to go see A24
movies. Yeah, go see
the
Alex Garland movie at the, that's a coast. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think it's more that than anyone thinking like what this movie is going to be about. I agree. I hope this doesn't become the norm of a question that is asked after movies. You know, I don't want that to be a report we get coming out of the Fall Guy is, you know, how many liberals are seeing it versus how many, you know, Trump voters are seeing the Fall Guy. I'd just rather not know that.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that for the Fall Guy or for Minions. Maybe for Minions. That actually would be interesting to see what these kids are into politically. But yeah, I think for the most part, we kind of don't need that question on the Post-Track. So let's get into some of the specific comments that we got.
Yeah, I want to hear this. I'm curious about this. Yeah.
So I've got a document here of some of the choice ones. I mean, let's just start. We got a YouTuber at user JP70L4YT7B.
Oh,
and this is what he says. Or she or they. Cost $50 million and is heading toward a $25 million opening. B.O. Boys with their finger on the pulse again.
Yeah.
Now, can I say something about this comment? I love this comment. This comment tickled me because it was a comment that just very much wasn't overbearing and like yelling at you, was very dismissive, which I think is the best way to get somebody angry. What I would say for this person is you don't have to use your real name, but don't just use a random user generate. Like, come up with a name that we can call you as opposed to user blah, 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 right? Because not saying your full Christian name, obviously, but there's a cowardice to just generating some random username and saying this. We want to give you your props. We'd like you to comment on all our videos with the same name so we know who this is. That's all I'm saying.
Is there any room here for getting this JT person for a second? And I get hundreds, thousands of these a week from people.
Yeah.
Is there room for some personal inventory from you guys here? Are you digging deep, or is this just an anomaly, a fluke? Is the B.O. Boy stew the magic that puts these numbers together? Is there a flaw in the system, or is this just an outlier?
Well, I mean, let's talk about that with this next comment from someone named Nothing to Add. So there you go. Came up with a personal
Clayton, right?
User handle.
Love it.
So from Nothing to Add says, LOL. I mean, great way to start any kind of online comment. LOL, Civil War predictions at 9 million for the weekend. Do you guys track pre-sales at all for making idiotic claims like that? So, you know, Nothing to Add brings up the pre-sales.
At its core, a fair question, yeah.
Yeah, it is, because that is something that we, and maybe different times, have not analyzed enough. Or you know, on this weekend, I will say, on the predictions episode, we never brought up pre-sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be something that in our process where we went with our gut, and we're go with our gut guys, you know, we're old school, and we went with our gut this weekend. I didn't think that the country was falling apart, but it is. So there you go. We learned that. And I just didn't think that was the case.
Sure.
And we went with our gut rather than tracking the hard pre-sales for Civil War. So Clayton, do you think that is something that Nothing to Add has said that we should take into account, that maybe we overlook the pre-sales this weekend? Or do you think Nothing to Add is bullshit?
I wouldn't go that strong. I'm going to say that I can
use something. You did call us idiots.
Yeah, that is a little rude. That is a little rude. But what I'll say is, I'm not going to stoop to that level. What I'll say is that on Deadline, they have a little percentage of walk-up business, and it's 64% of Civil War moviegoers bought tickets same day. Okay?
Right.
So that's a lot of people buying tickets same day. And same-day tickets aren't pre-sales. So, yes. Right. I'm going to admit, right, you went 9, I went 13. I'm not going to throw you under the bus as if mine was a great prediction, okay?
Right.
But if you're talking a lot of walk-up, that means that the pre-sales are what they are, and then people walked up to the booth and said, I want to see a Civil War because I'm a bloodthirsty maniac and I hate this country. That's probably what they said.
I think
they didn't say that, they implied that.
It was seen, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that in this occasion, the pre-sales didn't matter as much, right? When you look at pre-sales, they can matter a lot, especially when you look at something like Marvel movies and those superhero movies, because they had the stingers and things like that, where we know people were buying ahead of time. The way the theaters and movie going has changed now, with superhero movies no longer being the force that they are, is that we're not sure what the dominant thing is. We don't know necessarily what's a slam doink anymore. And I think we've done a really good job of forecasting that video games are going to be big and adult animation is going to be big and things like this that we're looking forward towards. And we've been honest about how last year was one of the craziest box office years ever. There was a sea change. We are captains of a ship in choppy waters. And if your captain does one little thing wrong that doesn't capsize the ship, right? You're going to throw them overboard. Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to follow your captains? Who is driving the fucking boat? We are, right? So nothing to add. If you want to be a captain, then get your fucking sail up and go out on the choppy waters with us. That's what I'll say. It's easy to snipe at us from on shore when your feet are on solid ground. That's all I'm saying.
That's typical Nothing to Add all the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a person who's probably left some comments on Kirk Minahan videos.
No question.
100%.
Yes.
So this next one, I mean, this next one is prescriptive here.
Okay.
So this next commenter is saying that something is needed. So Bubba, we got this from Bubba. And Bubba said, get the crow ready for these two on their next episode. Brutal takes all around on Civil War last week. None of their takes make sense. And here we go. Shot collars or crow are needed. So, Kirk, you know, we've brought this up on our show, of course, on your historic pay-per-view event last year where you picked your new producer, who has since been fired.
Correct.
part of his audition to be the producer was allowing you to shock him on stage in front of a live audience.
Yep.
And we've talked about, do the BO boys need shock collars? Do we need that as a way of keeping ourselves honest after predictions? So Bubba is saying shock collars are needed.
Well, Kirk, I have a better idea.
Do you think the BO boys need shock collars?
I have a better idea if that's okay with you guys.
Of course.
Ties in the Civil War. The film Gettysburg, a Civil War film, which runs, I think, 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to bring in the Sibian for both of you guys. You have to ride it while watching the entire film Gettysburg. I think that's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that's really the only appropriate thing at this moment. I mean, just the lesson learned, you know? That doesn't happen again. I think it gives you some perspective at that point. With it, you guys are allowed an intermission like they had in the theatrical showing. I will also.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
good.
So during the intermission, we are allowed to. Now, are these two separate Sibians?
I would like a dual Sibian where you guys just look, you know, either look at each other or watch the movie at the same time. But I don't know if that's out there. The Sibian creator, I believe, is dead. Mm-hmm.
RIP.
Yep. Yeah. That'd be my suggestion. Maybe Glory, but I would probably say Gettysburg just because of the length of the film.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned the Sibian because I'm not sure, but Bubba, uh-oh. I mean, could this be Bubba the Love Sponge? Could he be a fan? And I know, He was not famous for the Sibian. Howard Stern was famous for the Sibian, but he was at Sirius at a time where the Sibian was being rode a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. And he used to shock the puss. So, yeah. I mean, that is something that he used to do. So this is very interesting coming from Bubba the Love Sponge, who I'm assuming this is from. Thank you for being a fan. And I'm a fan of his cinematic work, his videotaping abilities. But sure. Otherwise, mm-hmm. What I'll say is that you think that what we did, what we said is so egregious that we would have to ride a Sibian and watch Gettysburg. That is what you think we should do.
Well, no, I'm saying if you guys are looking for some sort of cleansing, you know, if you feel like you're wrong and you need some sort of punishment, because that's what Bubba suggests. I'm just giving you a suggestion in line with Bubba. You know, if you guys feel like you are so wrong that you need to apologize to your fan base, me personally, no apologizing, no explaining to my fan base. They get their show, they shut the fuck up, and then they show up again for the next show. But you know, if you guys say, hey, look, you know, then maybe one of these live shows, maybe down south of the live show in Atlanta, you know, you do Gettysburg, you know, maybe you go to Gettysburg and do it at a live show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd go to that. I'd watch you guys do that.
Here you go, Kirk. So when you started, when you suggested at first as more of a cleansing, more of a self-punishment, mm-hmm. I got to say I was ready to resist. But now that it's a hook to draw an audience for an event.
Yep. Watch along.
Ride along,
live, if you will. Yeah.
Ride along.
Yeah.
If you got a Sibian, bring a Sibian. You know, it's a live theater. We'll put chairs out. But if you could bring a Sibian, mm-hmm. you could sit on that for the duration of the show.
Yeah.
Now I'm into it because now this is a way of the BO boys making some money.
I'll do it. We're
sure. I mean, I'm liking this, and we'd have to go to Gettysburg. I mean, that's a must. That's where we do this show.
That makes sense to me. Now we're making some money. Yeah. Now you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do like that because I don't think we need to get the poison out. I do think that this is one of those things that frustrates me with these commentators is that they said our takes made no sense. And I would like clarification as to what made no sense. The fact that this movie has no stars, which normally means a movie is not going to do well, right? The fact that it has a premise that on the surface, you know, seems like it'd be a slam dunk if you did it in a way that was, you know, what the audience expected and it didn't, right? Scamming an audience into thinking that it's an action movie when it's not, which, like you said, it's an A24 thing. So those things I think made sense at the time to talk about and to worry about. Now that the expectations didn't meet reality, we can talk about why people actually went to see this movie, which is something we're also good at doing. Seeing the facts once they're unraveled and then getting into it, right? And we're just going to use this information to be better tomorrow. What is this commentator going to do to be better tomorrow? They're Bubba? Not going to do anything. Bubba's not going to do anything. Bubba's just going to look for another thing to call someone out about. That's what Bubba does. Bubba doesn't learn.
Bubba is going to join us at the BO Boys live tour, stopping through Gettysburg, mm-hmm. where we're all going to be riding Sibians, watching Jeff Daniels and Sam Elliott on screen for 4.5 hours.
Sure.
Martin Sheen. Yep. I mean, could we get them to, because all three of those names I mentioned are alive.
Yeah.
Could we get them to not join us? I mean, listen, they're not going to join us on stage riding Sibians. I don't think Sam Elliott's going to do that. But can we get some retweets? Can we get some Jeff Daniels, especially with the Lebowski, you know, maybe in character as Lebowski?
That's Jeff Bridges. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, Jeff Bridges. Oh, my God. Of course. No, Jeff Daniels. Right. Dumber Jeff Daniels.
Dumb is not good. Yeah.
Bubba's not going to like that. Bubba is going to be the new BO blunder.
Right.
So, but can we get some of the stars at Gettysburg to publicize this huge event? We ride Sibians watching Gettysburg. I think they should.
That's how you benefit from a mistake. And that's all it was. You just move on the next day. I've done it a million times. I've screwed up more than anybody. It happens.
And here you are on the BO boy.
Sure. Yeah.
Bigger than ever.
Yeah, I think so.
We got just a couple more that I just want to bring in because this is, you know, this is a long time wannabe BO boy. Chris, is this your worst and most embarrassing BO projection week ever? So wannabe BO boy Chris Holbrook asked that. And another big wannabe BO boy fan, Champser, says, y'all need a fact checker or ask before the show Christopher. So he's bringing in Christopher. So Champs are almost looking, and we had Christopher on last week as our co-host.
Yeah.
It's almost like now you're getting the calls from people like Champs is, do they want new blood? Do they want the young generation? So, I mean, is this a situation now where we've got to put our foot down on Christopher to respond even harder to keep him out? I mean, do you suggest that, Kirk? Do we get rid of Christopher because now he's sort of a threat to our empire?
Well, I'll just say this about Christopher, who I like. I listened, obviously, last week to the entire episode. Did Christopher reach out to you guys and say, oh, by the way, the kids are talking about this movie. Like the kids are talking all week. He should be giving you a little projection. He should be helping you out. If the kids, he's on the campus right now. He's doing the drugs. He's, you know.
Right.
Are they talking about Civil War? Are they making Civil War jokes? The Jesse Plemons, like what's going on? Was he a benefit at all?
You know, he sent us, and I'm bringing it up now, he sent us a text over the weekend of his screening of Civil War, and I'm just going to get this in the camera here.
Oh.
Sent us this. You're seeing it. Empty screening.
Empty.
So
hold on, Pat. I need to clarify. I need to clarify this. He just sent us this. He just can't just say this weekend. He just sent this Sunday night.
Today.
Yes. Oh,
which is part of the weekend.
But this isn't to throw Christopher under the bus. This
No.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on. This is to say that people may have already turned on this movie because by Sunday night have empty theaters. Now, Christopher went on this show and he did say that nobody he knew at his campus was talking about this movie and was interested in this movie. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Christopher hangs out with some cool dudes who like to smash beers and do all that fun stuff and smash. I was gonna say, because we're not on the network, this isn't a Kirk exclusive. Keep the caution tape on a little bit, but I was thinking it, and they don't got time for this sort of hate mongering. They want to live their life to the fullest. They want to have fun. They want to party, okay, and and also get their work done and be a great intern and be a great producer for somebody someday, just to keep that in mind, Kirk.
And give blood, right, as well. I think you said last week.
Yeah, he gives blood. I mean, this kid, what does this kid not do? So he is not a guy that we're going to throw under the bus. And I will say, Jack, on our Substack, who you have to follow, he said 21. He was in line. Yeah. We went against what?
We called him out. We called him out.
I did,
So this is on us if it's on anybody. This is not on Jack. This is not on Christopher. So you all need to know that, right? We're not going to throw this on our underlings, even though that could be for funny content. We're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Those are good boys. And we love them both. I will say that. And I mean, I never even speak to Jack, or I've seen Jack once in my life, but I love him like a son. How I'm going to treat my real son. But the thing is that I think that we got, and I don't think, cause we did, we got a email from Javier. Pat, do you remember this? We haven't read this email, but he did at Wake Forest. He was the gentleman who went on stage. Kirk, I don't know if you remember this. He went on stage at a talent show and asked the audience for a movie and then gave the opening day numbers for those movies. Yeah. And he was just swarmed by co-eds after this.
Oh, sure.
Now,
swimming.
He sent us an email about these movies that are coming out in April. Pat, have you pulled this up?
He sent this on March. I have this. So he sent this on March 30th. He did this again where he surveyed fellow college students, had check boxes next to all these movie names. And he said the results were interesting. Monkey Man had the most check marks. Challenger came in a close second. Abigail and Civil War were both tied. So it seems like Monkey Man and especially Challenger have breakout potential. We saw Monkey Man didn't. So I guess that Civil War came in tied for third amongst those movies.
With Abigail. And so that was something that, even though we didn't read that email until now,
we took that in.
And so we took what Christopher said. We took what Javier said. And we thought this movie is just not going to do well. We just thought that. Did we go low? Yeah, we went a little bit low. But, you know, also, it got engagement. I mean, that's what you want. You want engagement. I mean, not to pull the curtain back, but guys, you're engaging with us. It riled you up.
Clicks.
It got the masses riled up, right?
Yeah.
And we've made enough great predictions, and we will make great predictions in the future, that you can still trust us, okay? Like we said,
right.
We're captaining the ship.
So, Kirk, just to close the loop here on Civil War,
yeah.
You know, we talked about how I think this is going to be Morbius situation. Mm-hmm. Clayton still sticks to this is not. Where do you think this movie is going to go? Like, do you feel a sensation here?
No.
Do you feel like this is a movie that opens at 25 and we're going to be seeing it making 100 domestic?
Nope. I don't think it makes 50 domestic.
Wow.
I don't think it smells 50 domestic. I don't. Mm-hmm. I have one other question because, you know, the first time I got suspended in my old radio, I got suspended 5 or 6 times in the old days in radio. I was a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a week off suspended. I went to my home in Maine and like Richard Nixon himself made a list of enemies, friends of mine who didn't step up and have my back.
Right.
I'm wondering, cause you referenced a friend earlier. Is there somebody who after this whole thing is done, you're like, you know what? Dead. Never speaking to this person again.
I mean, I'll say his name.
Say it.
Wannabeo boy Joshua.
Oh.
He texted and tweeted
the same thing,
which is Clayton before this weekend. And then it was a picture, a meme of Axl Rose saying, "I don't need your Civil War." And he both put that on Twitter and he texted it to the both of us. And you know, this is a very talented person who has a book coming out that we were going to full on promote.
Yeah.
It was going to be shameless. When this book came out, the BO boys were going to stump for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we probably were going to throw it on the merch tables at the BO boys live tour in the fall.
Yeah.
And
we'd be naming that book right now. Insert title here. If we were still going to do that.
Am I smelling a book burning party, guys? I mean, I don't want to go all footloose here, but is that the smell of books burning in the air?
Here's what I'll go as far as a book tearing, possibly.
Okay, sure.
I'll tear some pages. I'll tear key pages out of this book so that it's even worse.
Right.
Because people will read it and be so angry because key pages won't be there.
That's good. That's even better. Yeah. Good. I like that. All right. Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that long way of saying second week, I think tanks. I don't think it gets to 50. I think it's going to be, I'll let you guys handle it, but low second weekend and then gone, just wiped out from existence. People aren't even talking about it now. Like it's not a buzzy, like, you know, I thought there was a chance it'd be a movie that ignites some conversation given the subject matter, given the title, given whatever, but nothing. I've heard nothing about it really.
Right. Like this is a, if this movie were successful in being provocative, this would be a movie that would be a huge segment. Maybe it would be the full 2 hours. You get 2 hours out of this on the Kirk Minahan show.
Could be.
Are you guys going to go argue about Civil War? You know, is your producer, Jack, is that on the rundown?
No.
We got to debate Civil War.
They brought it up tonight, but as usual, they're like, did you see Civil War? Oh, no, I haven't seen it. Have you guys, they brought it up. No. And that was kind of the length of the triple no. And Bly Mike goes into those, it never goes in the movie. So, no, I'm trying. Right. No, it's not one of those movies that, you know, opens at 25 and then kind of legs its way to 75 or 80 even, you know, and there's kind of a run for a few months. That's not. Even the movie that came out a year ago, just about right now, that had conversation going for a few weeks was Air. Like it's not that kind of even that, not even near that.
Right. Well, I want to throw out a couple of movies before we let you go that are coming out to see if I think this is a movie that could be what Civil War wanted to be in terms of generating buzz. Kirk, where is your excitement level for Challengers starring Zendaya? You know, weeks out, is that going to be something where the Kirk Minahan show is going to be covering this film? You know, maybe, I mean, I've been emailing with your producer, Jack. He's great at getting our videos up on time on the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel. Is he working on getting Zendaya into the studio to promote Challengers?
I think we probably reached out and I guess she's not going to be here. I'm interested in seeing it. It seems like it definitely is a buzzworthy scene or two for sure. That's going to get the Barstool guys talking.
Yeah,
she's a star. You know me. I'm hesitant to call people stars. You guys are quicker to call people stars than me, but I think she's a star now for sure. I think this will open bigger than people would have thought like 4 or 5 months ago. Yeah, and I do want to see it. Yeah, I'm curious to see how this goes. It might stink. I have no idea, but yes, I will see that movie in the theater.
Yeah, I mean. You know, this is the one. Here's what I'll say. This is the one where Clayton, when we're doing the prediction show for Challengers, I do think we got to be really buttoned up in terms of analyzing the numbers, going on, you know, our gut, which has worked for us for our entire lives, gotten us where we are. But but I think really being ready with that one, because we've talked a lot about Challengers and we don't want to fall into the opposite of the Civil War trap, where we go in a direction that's pure gut. So I think that's a big episode for
what
us.
The Challengers preview is big. I'm sorry. What does Scott Mendelson call it when it's sort of a movie that's sort of we overrate because of Twitter, how successful it's going to do? He has some phrase for that. I've heard him say it before, where Twitter really thinks it's going to be the biggest thing in the world, but it doesn't land. I am a little worried about that. Is it like a coastal Twitter?
Right. Snakes on a plane situation.
A phenomenon more than... Are people in North Dakota and in Effingham, Illinois going to go see it? Is she a star there? I don't know.
Yeah, we say tweets aren't ticks. That's what we say. That's a BO Boys original, actually. We came up with that one. Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Pat. I mean, I think this is something that we have a strong feeling for. And I do think, yeah, we'll look at those pre-sales.
Yeah. We're going to have to make sure Jack looks at the pre-sales and sends us a detailed email beforehand. That we can guarantee. Jack will work his ass off on Challengers Week and get us those numbers. Yeah, we could guarantee that. The Fall Guy, Kirk. So this movie, Ryan Gosling, and he was on SNL last night promoting the hell out of this movie. Like, they want this to be huge. You know, there's no Marvel movie kicking off the summer. This is the summer kickoff. They want this to be a gigantic movie. It's based on a TV show that ran 5 years in the 80s.
Yep.
What are you feeling on this? And were you a Fall Guy in the early 80s? Was that a big show for you as a young Kirk Minahan?
What a millennial question. Question to ask. Come on. Were you into the Fall Guy?
I will say the late Peter Minahan, my father was a big fan of the program, so I would watch it with him. And, you know, Pat, you wouldn't understand this, but there are times where I have to go up and actually change the channel on the TV with my hand. You've always had 500, 600 channels. you know, Disney, this, that, you know, Hannah Montana, that's who you grew up with. But for guys like me and Clayton.
Clarissa explains it all. That's my, not Hannah Montana. Clarissa explains
it. I'm not sure what the title means. It's another one where I don't know, like, let's say it's not very good. Does it still make, is it still huge, or does it have to be great to kill it this summer? I love a big opening weekend. Gosling's another guy who I think I will fully admit now I can put him in the star category. No question about it. I actually think the moment he became in my mind like a no doubt star was at the Oscars this year. Like that was he crossed over. And I know we covered this in the past. It's still one of the biggest disgraces of all time that Tina Turner closed out the In Memoriam, all due respect. But that's a different conversation. But Gosling's a star. And I you know, Emily Blunt is been in big movies. So yeah, I think it's gonna do really well. If it's pretty good, I think it'll do really well. Do I think the trailer is very funny? Not really. It's kind of like it's the joke star, but doesn't matter. Like I think that's going to hit. And I think audiences want to see movies like that this summer. They want to see two good looking people and kind of a goofy, funny action comedy. And they're promoting it pretty well. So yeah, I think it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah. There is a chance that it's terrible.
Yes.
And I agree the opening weekend that won't matter, but that's a difference between that just being, you know, Clayton and I, we talked about this at the water cooler. Is this just bullet train where it makes like 110 domestic total, or is this something that does make 250 million plus domestic because it's good and it's like the big movie of May? And I think that's, we don't know. This could be so bad that it's an opening weekend and then that's it.
Yeah.
But that's not what the buzz is. And I think Kirk, you really hit it.
Good.
You really hit it too, is that this is coming off of really Gosling being coronated as a legitimate star, the thing that we've been waiting for him to become for so many years, the thing that Jake Gyllenhaal never became and never will become at this point, where, yes, the Oscars made him that household sort of, anybody who didn't know who he was like, who was this guy who charmed us all? Had a great SNL last night, which means a lot. And this is the movie. This is the time for him. So if he's going to be a star and a movie's going to be a hit, this is the one. This is the one.
Are you guys ready to say that Ryan Gosling is a bigger star than Logan Paul?
Bigger movie star. I'm comfortable saying bigger movie star.
Well, bigger movie star.
Because Logan Paul hasn't gotten the shots yet,
right?
You know, have this conversation 5 years from now, I think it'll be different.
Sure. He could be like the guy who wants to be Gosling in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dumb, like he's even dumber than the dumb Gosling. That would work.
Kirk, here's what I'm going to pitch for the stinger of this movie, which has already been shot and will not happen, is that we see an action sequence. We see somebody who looks sort of like Gosling going through doing all this crazy stuff. And then Gosling is actually the director of this movie and he calls cut. And who is playing him in the movie of the events of this
movie?
Exactly. It is Logan Paul.
Like James Brolin playing Pee Wee. Exactly. Yes.
Right. Yes.
That's
and that's a reference we would get, Pat. Yeah. Pee Wee was like a very famous comedian and television star for kids. In the morning.
I remember his description. I remember all the Pee Wee jokes.
Remember his Netflix series there was a couple of years ago. Sure, you watched that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That's how you know. Sure, right. Yeah.
So if Fall Guy does open huge, is there room then for other, you know, is there a Jake and the Fat Man movie that we'll see in a year? Ooh. Is there a Heart to Heart?
A Dynasty movie? Yeah, I don't know.
Is there, like, what are the big 80s? You know, we've seen the A-Team and, you know, the Miami Vice has already been a movie. But I feel like Jake and the Fat Man is like that kind of recognizable IP that you could just take wherever you want.
Sure. Remington Steele, maybe. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely ones out there. And if this one's a big hit, you will see about six of those over the next 4 years. So
I think that time, that early 80s or late 70s, where it was like, you know, 81 to 87, those sort of shows there where you had Simon and Simon is ripe for a remake.
Gerald
Hardcastle Green. And McCormick could be something that they could do. And I think if this movie is a hit, it's a fertile ground that hasn't really been plowed. Airwolf. There's never been an Airwolf movie. No. I mean, these are things that could be made. And if this is a hit, will be made.
Magnum P.I. has not been made into a film, right?
TV show.
No.
They redid it. Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. There's been a lot of I think something like Hawaii 5-0, I feel like has had 3 or 4 reboots on television.
Yeah. It's had at least 3. Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think, you know, with the superheroes on the wane, it's time to revive that sort of TV remake. But it's all landing on the Fall Guy, because if that's a hit, then I think we're going to get our Hunter movie. Mm-hmm. Finally.
My man Fred Dreyer. I'm in for that.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
I think I think guys have talked about this the last couple of weeks. So Ghostbusters will probably make 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I said to you right now, will they make another? I know you've talked about this, but or are we finally done with this really terrible franchise that's produced, I would say, 3/4 of a good movie, of a great movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. It's in the worst kind of spot right now. Because it's going to end up finishing, you know, right now it is at 96.9, so 97 million domestic.
Worldwide. That's not a lot.
It's not ever been a huge international franchise. It's a movie that started as an SNL sketch comedy movie. You know, mm-hmm. that's really what the first one was. It's not a giant international action franchise. So it's going to end up making 105 to 110 domestic. That's kind of the absolute war zone. If this movie made 80 million domestic, then you know it's dead.
Right.
If it made 150 or 160 domestic, then you know you got a sequel. It's just in that gray zone of everyone just hand-wringing, what do we do?
And Paul Rudd is begging for them not to do it, right? He doesn't want to do this again. Does he? He doesn't do a third one of this, does he? I can't imagine.
I mean, it's got to be just a paycheck.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know Dan Aykroyd's dying for it, but other than that, who wants it?
That's the thing. It's Dan Aykroyd, and how much do frantic 3 a.m. phone calls from Dan Aykroyd mean to the head of Sony Studios?
Right, right.
Yeah, I think the thing with Paul Rudd is that he doesn't want to be in a truly abysmal one of these, because he's recovered from Ant-Man. We still like him. Mm-hmm. And he did this movie, which did fine. But I think if he ends up starring in another big budget sort of flop that kills a franchise, that would be not good for him. So if he could stay after this one and say, you know what, guys, I'm good. And, you know, that's a big budget cut. So the way they make this movie, and I've said this, is the budget increased for this one, and the budget is too high for this franchise for how many people want to see it. So you got to cut the budget somehow.
Yep.
I said, get rid of the youngins because nobody cares. Everybody else is saying get rid of the oldsters because that's where the money is actually being spent. But I don't think anybody cares about the youngsters. So I think this is a dead franchise at the theater. I've called that they're going to make a streaming show with Ernie Hudson as the star. I heard you say that.
He looks great. Yeah.
That's my call. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get Annie Potts back. And that's what they're going to do with this.
They get the bad guy who's back in this one. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Did Harry Minahan have any interest in this Ghostbusters movie?
He said to me, I said, Harry, do you want to go? Because we watched the last one at home. We didn't go to the theater. He kind of liked it. He remembered podcast, but then he said, Dad, I just have no interest in seeing it. It was kind of like his reaction to Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. He just kind of was like, we can fast forward to this, right? That kind of.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's not there yet. Give this kid a couple of years. Yeah, Rhea Ripley will
make a man out of him at some point, I suspect. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't feeling it. No. He had no interest in Civil War. I'm trying to think. There's not been a big Harry Minahan movie at all lately. The kids have been talking about that age. No, nothing lately.
So the collab wasn't big with Harry.
No, not really. That's on the Godzilla crew. Nothing really this summer. It's interesting. He has totally moved on from Marvel. It is interesting. He was very into it.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about it. Thinks it's dead now. So he likes horror. So they're kind of waiting for that next kind of underground horror movie to come out.
Right. Oh, Terrifier 3.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's true. Yep.
He'll be a little bit older. He'll be 6 months older by then. So I think he'll be ready for Terrifier 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, that sort of wraps it up as far as, movie talk here. And, you know, we're teasing, of course, we've got the fall tour. So just putting out there, Kirk, we are working on dates for Boston,
mm-hmm.
In the fall. We're thinking around the time of the release of Gladiator 2.
Yes.
So, you know, listen, if we'll work on it. I'm sure that there's a lot of things to figure out there. But of course, we'd love to have Kirk Minahan.
I'll be there
on the BO Boys live tour.
This guy you had on last week, who I like, this guy was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go 20 minutes to go to your show. I forget who that was.
The Ace Eric Weber.
Eric, come on. The BO Boys. I will crawl 20 miles to go to this live show for you guys. So Podcast Jesus will be in attendance at the BO Boys. If I'm alive, I'll be there.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. So that is our goal. We got to keep Podcast Jesus alive until November.
Yeah.
And you're out there. You're running every day.
I will be 50 years old October 31st. So I will be 50 years old for the show in November.
Wow. Huge milestone. We got to have a giant cake.
Pat will be 50 in 22, 20. I mean, you're 20 years away, Pat, but it's going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? And we'll all be there celebrating that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want a Hannah Montana cake.
I figured you would.
There we go. Embrace it, Pat. Embrace your millennialness.
When you put it that way, that I'm going to be so young for so long, it starts to feel like.
Yeah, but I'll be there. Are you guys circling potential venues?
Yes. We're circling potential venues.
Plus, the bidding must be like for the Olympics. I mean, people must be. I can't even imagine the frenzy around this thing.
Right. Yeah. We want a guaranteed payday from the venue because we're bringing in tourism. We're bringing the hotels are going to be booked out.
Yes. Yeah. I did a live show in Portland a couple of weeks ago. And the hotel was filled with Mythic fans. They were walking on the streets. You saw the sweatshirts. So, you could say to these guys, hey, we're going to bring in, $20 million, $30 million worth of revenue over this weekend. Yeah. Like, what do we get? Do we get a private plane? We get a rider, obviously. We get, we want primo dates. We want to get basically pay us like it's sold out before you even put the tickets out. Just give us the
money. Exactly.
Yeah, you got to do that.
There has been some talk of actually erecting a new venue for this.
Yeah.
Just because we want it to have our certain specifications.
Sure.
So, along with that, and of course, the taxpayers of the city are going to pay for that.
Yeah. That's
they're going to foot the bill.
Yeah.
But the money we bring in is going to be way more than that.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
And then they use that venue for years to come, bring in Bruce, bring in the Strokes, all the big acts. So it's,
right.
So Kirk, anything that you want to promote to the Wannabe O Boys, Wannabe O Girls, Wannabe O people that's happening on the Kirk Minahan show?
No, we're kind of, it's kind of a nice quiet. We just did the live show, which we put a lot of work into. So now it's just kind of the show itself for the next few months. And then we're going to kind of figure out what's going forward. I think after the summer, kind of show will be the show for the next 3 or 4 months, get through the summer, then figure things out in the fall. But I know we have the YouTube channel. We're very happy to have you guys be a part of it. We're just chugging along.
Great. Well, of course, you could watch the BO Boys Kirk exclusive on the Kirk Minahan YouTube network. And of course, the caution tape is fully off on that channel. Anything goes there. Email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. We love getting your emails. We love getting your added tweets. We love getting your YouTube comments. Bring it on. theboboyspodcast@gmail.com, @theboboyspod on social media, the BO Boys YouTube channel. Drop the comments in there. Bubba, we love you, Bubba. Keep coming back. Keep monetizing yourself by bringing up the engagement. And 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and all that.
Final thing I will say, of the cast members of Gettysburg, I think there's a chance you could get Tom Berenger at the live show.
Wow. Do you think
would he ride?
Get him on stage. Would he ride? Yeah.
He might be in the position of his crew where he might ride the Sibian. He might do it.
Wow. Tommy takes the ride.
Yeah, he might do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And you know what? It would pay off. I guarantee next day he's getting offers without auditioning.
And the cruiser's
three. Now, can I pitch a show really quick? And I know we're at the end of the show, but, I was watching the Conan Hot Ones. Conan O'Brien, all-timer, one of the funniest living people. just destroyed that show. I mean, that show now is, they have to end the show because he just went in there and wrecked that show in such a great way. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a show for the Kirk Minahan YouTube network where you're riding a Sibian and getting questions? I mean, I know it's a Howard Stern thing and he did that, but like, it was more with that. It was more about getting a woman to get off. This would be, we would have all different guests and we would just turn it up a different notch after every question. And it's just somebody riding the Sibian in a Hot One style. Right. And they don't have to come to completion or anything like that. Sure. But I think that'd be an interesting show. I don't know. Is there anything there?
I mean, sure. We're open to all ideas. If you want to pitch that to our producers, we're not opposed to that. I'm sure we could dig up a Sibian, I would think, right? I mean, they don't use it. Yeah. They don't use it for CERN anymore. We could probably get it from him.
No. If I could get Tom Berenger to be the first guest on this show, just shoot a pilot. Is that something that you would be interested in?
That's greenlit right away. That's an automatic green light. There's no tape at all. Right to production.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. This great. Is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I mean, listen, Clayton, after that successful pitch of the Sibian ones, so there's nothing left to say.
Oh, we're on no other platforms.
Nothing left to say.
Except for until next time. We'll smell you at the